Yes, g'day partners. Welcome to the final episode of Autumn 2024 of All In. Mick Gannon doing the steering of the ship here. Lewis Willoughby from Sky Racing. Good afternoon on this Monday.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. What a day it was, day two of the championship. So much to talk about. It was, it's billed as one of those days that is supposed to be one of the best anywhere globally for racing. And I think what we saw was pretty close to that mark. Highlighted, of course, by the crazy victory of Pride of Jenny. But there's still two group ones to come this weekend, plus a Quokka in the West. So still a chance to find some winners. I'm eating two-minute noodles at the moment because I didn't have a great day on the punt.
And a man that never eats two-minute noodles because he works for that many organisations is flush with cash, DeanWatling.com.
Afternoon or morning, boys. Afternoon it is. Great meeting on the weekend. God, there were some wins outside of Prodigy that probably just go by the wayside just because how much media created with her win. But no, another good week. I love this all-age stakes. It's one of the best races. Sort of gets forgotten about, obviously, Champagne as well and the Quokka too. So good week, plenty to touch on, which I'm sure we'll do in a second, Gunnar.
Yeah, it's a really good point you made in regards to wins outside of Pride of Jenny, and Circle of Fire was one of those wins, three wide for 3,200 metres at a pretty, very reasonable clip for 3,200 metres, wide with no cover and got the job done. And if Pride of Jenny didn't turn up and do what she did, that would have been probably the win of the decade. And look, you know what you could probably say is that win is probably more impressive than you could nearly say than Pride of Jenny's, because that horse actually did it like really, really tough and did it easy, and Pride of Jenny, well, they didn't turn up, did they, Louis?
Only the sectionals have just kind of come through, and there's been a lot of chat in the last hour or so before we recorded on that Pride of Jenny win. And she's gone really quick and gone really slow late, but the others with respect have not turned up that well at all on punting forms sectionals. I think they had Via Sistina going five lengths slower than class average to the 600 metres and only coming home two lengths quicker for a slow overall time. So realistically, a horse of that calibre should be coming home equal to the rate it went slowly to start with or better. So they did flop in behind it, I think, and just take the win on its merits and that it was a great spectacle. And, you know, we can all move on from finger pointing at jockeys in behind them who should have done this, that, or the other, whatever. Pride of Jenny went out there and won. Like, let's, take it for what it is.
Yeah, we've dissected it within an inch of its life. How do we get Pride of Jenny beaten next time if you own an opposition horse or if you're doing tactics?
Yeah, well, you just settle closer or hopefully put a couple of horses in the race that have tactical speed. I think that's the thing that's been missed by anyone. You look at the speed
team riding,
who the horse is. Yeah, you could potentially do that, Gunno, but I'll leave that up to you. Yeah, it's funny. You look at a speed map, just get rid of the horses' names, and there's no speed on paper. I think Lindemann's probably the horse that we don't speak about enough. He came out race morning at Costid, and then I think the biggest thing to note is they've gone around four lengths faster than they did in the Australian Cup down there in Melbourne. So I think if you can compare that, it probably shows how far off they were. But I think they just had straight jackets on the horses back in the field. And then combined with a couple other factors, I think you can blame anyone, blame Pro Jenny, because when you've got a racing patent like that, you can do things like that and confuse the field, confuse the punters. But like Louis said, it's just a race, take it on its merits. Next time out, we'll dissect it all.
Yep, absolutely love it. And just to advantage the horse that's out in front, right? As a general rule, sometimes advantage the horse that's 40 lengths out in front. Nick Ashman did an interesting stat a long time ago about breakaway leaders and how hard they were to run down, like outside of SP, regardless of SP. And it was fascinating how successful the strike rate of those horses that are further than 10 lengths out in front that managed to win. But anyway, that's a discussion for another day. We've got... last day of the Sydney Autumn Carnival, Royal Randwick Rail out 7 metres from the 1,000 to the winning post, 5 the remainder, good 4. What does the weather look like this week in Sydney? Have you had a look forward there, gents? Anyone had a look?
I think it's pretty good. I haven't seen a lot of rain. I've seen sort of 24, 25 degree days, so I'm expecting a dryish track, but don't hold me to it.
Dino, it might get 40 mils of rain. I'm just having a quick look now. Yeah, look, 1 to 5 every day, which means probably nothing. So it's going to be a cracking day. Rail at 7 metres. That's probably getting to the point of the track now where has been the best ground throughout the carnival so far. You might see some slight on-pace favours. The track's played very, very fair across the 2 days. Nice. And by very fair, off-rail. But you can still come back underneath, especially on day two, and get a run. So that was pretty good. But what happens on Saturday, only time will tell. Let's have a look at this all-age stakes. couple of horses here that in question. Pericles won't be going, Louis just suggested, and Oban Buramai, whilst in the market, we believe is on a plane to Hong Kong tonight. Is that right, Lou?
Yeah, that's correct. So Pericles is spelling, and yep, for the Hong Kong Champions Mile, Oban Buramai will be contesting that. And I'm 95% sure it flies out tonight, if not a bit more. But it is interesting that they lobbed it up in the noms while something like Pericles, who was in the all-in market, has now been taken out once they refreshed it. So I'm pretty certain it's not going.
Yeah, I'd suggest to you if Oban Buramai was going, it wouldn't be $11.
Right,
So anyway, one for the bookies there. Espiona, $3.50. Southport Tycoon, $4.50. Private Eye, $6. Sunshine in Paris, $6. Magic Time, $8. Chain of Lightning, $11. Oban Buramai, $11. And Cap, $15. Along with the rest, Dino, kick us off, all age stakes.
Yeah, a couple of things to play out. Chain of Lightning, I think, pretty sure it's going here, but I think they want a little bit of sting out of the track. And if it's a good four, good three, I think there's a potential it does come out. Southport Tycoon obviously scratched out of the Doncaster, now back to 1,400 metres with a month between runs coming out of the Australian, what was it, the race that it won, beating V8 and Co.
Australian.
Yes, I think that's the one. And obviously, yeah, Australian Guineas, that's the one. Riff Rocket, so that form line's interesting. I think it's a racing two between Espiona and Sunshine in Paris. I do give Private Eye a sniff. His tick over trial is terrific. He hasn't drawn a gate this preparation, but Espiona last start was phenomenal. And the TJ held up down the outside. 1,400 metres is in a wheelhouse. And similar to Sunshine in Paris, I thought she'd be a little bit more flat last start, albeit I backed her. I think third up now, she is ready to win a race. I think outside of that, the race really drops away this year. It's a little bit of a lackluster field, albeit the couple at the top are really nice. But a little two-bet play for me in this. Do I want to take the price now, Lou? I think you could probably wait till race day and get the barriers and figure it all out before you take the prices, though.
Yep, this has got me scratching my head, this one. The TJ Smith's the key form lead in, history says that. But with Chain of Lightning winning that and a bit of a bunch finish with no margin spread, I don't really know what to make of the TJ this year. It did leave me a touch underwhelmed. Southport Tycoon doesn't have the historical lead-in profile to this race, but they saved it from a really wet track. It's had the two trials to keep it up to the mark, and I'm no trial guy, but from what I see, it's looked pretty smart in those two trials under no riding, just savaging the line. And a few of these coming through TJs and whatever, it may just be a little afterthought, whereas this looks like since the scratching on that wet track, they've gone, okay, we're targeting this race now and are aiming at it. Back to 1,400 metres for it is no worry. So if I'm looking away from that TJ Smith, this is the one I want to be with. Espiona, for me, it's just the low percentage play of the racing style and wanting to lay in. They've got this thing at the moment where they need to present it with, between a gap so it doesn't lay in, and it's all just a bit too crazy for me. And at the price, I don't think that's worth taking the stab at.
There's a lot going on, isn't there?
As if there's so much going on. And, on her day, we know she's a very, very good Group 1 mare is Espiona, but there's just some things going on at the moment that's a bit too hard to figure out, and at the price, it's a no for me. If I had to spec something maybe from the TJ, I agree with Sunshine in Paris and Magic Time, who was really disappointing at every chance, I thought, behind the winner in Chain of Lightning and couldn't do anything, but I know it's got great 1,400-meter Randwick form, and you might just get a price to see if it can bounce back. But yeah, I tried to get away from Southport Tycoon and I couldn't.
Be interesting to see, Lou, if they do put the blinkers on Southport Tycoon. That's a stable that loved to sort of drop them back around final, throw the blinkers on. I tried to see that latest trial, which you referenced. It's really, really hard to see. I need to get a microscope to see if they were on, but I think that will be a big factor. I love that camp if the blinkers do go on here. Gunner?
Love it, lads. You summed it up pretty well. Any chance Buenos Nochos actually does something? Dead set.
What price is it? I don't even know what price it is.
$26.
But
you know, I'm going here, right? Like, it's just done nothing. Now you're getting $26, but you might get $26 on the day. I found it hard. I think the market's got 100% spot on. I don't think this time, or sorry, not this time, but maybe at the start of the autumn, we were saying that $6 Private Eye, you'd just be steaming into that if at the start of the autumn. Now you don't.
Off his first up run, especially.
Yeah. Really tough, lads. actually want proper want a fence sit here because I want to know what horse leads this race, Dino.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think that's why Louis' push for Magic Time's probably a good one in the sense that it has tactical speed. Sunshine in Paris does too, potentially as well. Chain of Lightning probably helps this race if it's here. It has obviously speed, but you make a good case. It doesn't read well for Buenos Noches. I know they're going to be a long way back. And 400 meters is a little bit different. I think Espiona can probably settle closer. I'm trying to think of the race that she won in the spring where she sat sort of three pairs back the outside and said, see you later. So I think that helps them. But
I've got another one for you, lads. Buffalo River's nominated for this race.
And forward,
And Celine, well, oh, gee, dearie me. Celine took a sit behind a $71 pot last start and gave the horse none. It'll roll forward, you know, make its own luck. I'm not sure if they're going here. Nominated. I'm going to take a bit of that. That's my bet. $51, Buffalo River.
I think the problem with Buenos Noches is if you back in it wins at $26, I can't tell you that that's really astute form analyst and punting.
Yeah.
you've just hoped that after doing nothing all prep, it's going to show up, and it magically does. And so I don't, like that's surely not a great betting strategy long term. Just hoping a horse who's done nothing all prep that's shown no signs of turning it around either is just going to lob up and win.
I love that.
Buffalo River, that's a better point with the tactical speed and lucky last start.
I love it. You know, you might have to go listen back to the tape. I just asked you a question. I didn't tip it.
Look, it's the last episode. I'm running out of time to give you both clips, so I just got to get it. Exactly.
He's got the suit on. He's ready to go.
Good. And now hopefully your tip is a winner as well. Hey, let's go to the Champagne Stakes. 1,600 meters, group one, set weights, two-year-olds. Looks like a really good race. A couple of these come out of the same form lines. Off the top, Manal, $2.50. Linebacker, $2.80. Broadsiding, $6. Prost, Dino Prost, $6. Anode, $11. Fearless, $11. In Her Eyes, $51. The Space Time Legend, $101. Lewis Willoughby, kick us off. Champagne Stakes.
I've got to be honest, I'm a little disappointed. Nom's extended. And there's only kind of like that first six that are really in the market. It has fallen away a little bit when Storm Boy, Spelled, Lady of Camelot went back to 1,200 because it doesn't get the trip, etc. It has fallen off a little. So Manal and Prost and somewhat a note are the only ones coming through that slip of form line. And then you've got Linebacker and Broadsiding through the rung below races.
A note as well.
I'm going to go with Broadsiding, who was beaten by a Linebacker in the value and doesn't have the racing pattern advantage V Linebacker. But, gee, I loved what I saw on Saturday. And just something with that quick backup 7 days into this kind of grand final. Its sectionals were huge there in the Fern Hill on Saturday. And I just think, although Linebacker beat it, I think it was 2.3 lengths in the value on merits. 280 V, $6, little stretch for mine. No knock on Manal, but I think you may get short. Well, I don't think you will get shorter than 250 because there is a big boom on this Linebacker. So I don't think the price Manal is anything to worry about yet. But yeah, Broadsiding $6, Dino. I don't know. That's kind of how I'd play it.
Yeah, I think I looked at that on Saturday after it won and I thought, oh, that's short. But then you look at the field and like you mentioned, it's a lackluster addition. Normally we get that sort of second wave of two-year-olds coming out post as a slipper that fill the void, but I guess Linebacker's probably the only one here that's doing that. So I think there's absolutely no juice in this market. I think it's going to be a small race, tactical affair. Maybe you don't want to be on a back marker purely because you got rail out 7 meters and Linebacker, he was really good out there. Track work Tuesday at Randwick. He would be the lean, but at the current prices, I cannot push anyone into anything, Gunner.
Yeah, tell me how a node's $11, lads. So this horse carried 58.5 kilos. Linebacker carried 55.5 kilos. There were 0.07 lengths between them in the value. That much.
Yep, you make a good point. And we saw weights obviously make a massive difference. Autumn Angel last week and a couple of others, especially with these lightly raced horses. I think older horses can probably carry weight. Two-year-olds, three-year-olds, makes a good difference.
Back to set weights, led them up in the size produce. A day you didn't want to be leading them up. Was beaten 4 lengths by Manal. That was on a heavy track by I Am Invincible. Suggested he probably just didn't handle the heavy track and getting $11. That's a bet for me. I actually think this horse is really good. I think this is a high-quality horse that's probably just flown under the radar a little bit and, you know, ran second behind Dublin Down. Third was Coleman. that day. So there or thereabouts, and I think it's probably one that's gone completely under the radar. So a node on top for me, Louis. Just go over your two tips for round week for me, mate.
Yeah, so broadsiding and broadsiding and Southport Tycoon. I just wanted to quickly get your thoughts before we move on. Once this is said and done, the champagne, that's the two-year-olds over for Sydney. What have we made of the two-year-old series this year? Of course, Storm Boy was tipped as this generational colt, got beaten in both the slipper and the sires. The fillies have won both of those and over the colts. Has it fallen a touch flat for you guys?
Yep, 100%. I think you've summed up well. I think it had big heights and then it sort of come off. And I think that's been sort of accentuated with the lack of that second wave coming through. Like you look at a JJ Atkins and you're just sort of thinking, what's going to go up? I know an ease is going up there, but I think the fillies are dominated. They won the diamond, the slipper. They're with the sires. I'm trying to think who won the sires last week.
Well, sires was Manal.
Manal, yeah. Oh, I agree with you, Lou. Gunner?
Yeah, there's a couple of horses that sort of you can really, you know, draw lines through. Like Traffic Warden could potentially be the best of them. Like a bit of luck in two races, and Traffic Warden probably wins at the slipper in the sires and potentially gets a lot closer in the Blue Diamond, Lady of Camelot. Like, I just think they're actually a lot more even than what we thought they were. And I think the Storm Boy ratings, which, you know, we've had a theory on for a little while, but the ratings that came out of that Gold Coast, that new Gold Coast track, might have needed an asterisk next to them. So it's either needed an asterisk next to them, or the horse was just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, and hasn't come back as good. When you speak to the
behind her, no good.
Yeah, exactly. And you speak to Adrian, and I asked him on camera, you know, what are your thoughts on this horse? Has he improved? And he said he's going just as well, if not better. So the trainers think the horse is going better, but the data suggests it's not. Maybe that there's an asterisk against that Gold Coast data. Who knows? But to answer your question, Louis, it's made for really good racing. I've loved it. And I would much prefer that than what we saw at the Masters today when Scotty Scheffler just turned up and just absolutely dusted these blokes and they all just fell over. And Scotty just kept doing his best because he is proper to slap them in the end, which is sometimes good, but it gets boring because, you know, the days where Tiger used to win by 5 and 6 and you just knew he'd turn up and win, like it gets boring eventually. So good for racing that they are sharing it round. Who wins this race? Very keen to know. Hey, Louis, take it away for the Quokka.
Yeah, Quokka. So it's a big weekend in WA, 3 codes, 3 slot races. So you've got the Sandgroper for the Greys and the Nullarbor for the Trots. And the Quokka, of course, is the Thoroughbred version, and Amelia's Jewel, who went so close last year, looking to go one better this time around. $2.80 favourite with the tab fixed odds. These odds are correct at 12:38 p.m. on the Monday. Melanie Patina, $4.50 overpass, looking to go back to back. But it's a drifter, $4.50 out to $6. King of Sparta and Oscar's Fortune, $8, and Malkovich is first in double figures, 21 into 15. Dino, who wins the Quokka?
Yep, I like this race. My best all-in play of the weekend, overpass. I can't believe he's $6. I thought he'd be close to favourite. I know Bella was good last start, but that was on a wet track. Back to a potentially dry track. Well, more than likely, it's going to be dry. He's got tactical speed. He's been there, done that twice over there. I know Millie's Jules probably a better horse, but gates are everything for her. I think it doesn't matter what gate he draws. He is a bomb-proof horse. So I think $6 about overpass Gano is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, big price. Just looking at the weather over there in WA, 32 degrees every day. So nice and warm. We've seen it very hard to travel horses over there. I'm happy to stick with Amelia's Jewel, $2.80. I think she's really good horse. She wasn't far off. Did she beat Pride of Jenny? Was it first up
around the valley?
And I do remember, and I was one of them going, oh, yeah, she beat Pride of Jenny. Like, you know, that horse isn't going that
change.
That, horse isn't going that good. Well, it turns out, and look, to be fair, at that point, the horse wasn't going that good. It's, you know, she's jumped out of the ground again. And again and again. But I think Amelia Jewel will win the race. $2.80 now. If she draws a gate, I think she'll probably start closer to $2.50. Probably don't have to bet her right now, though, to be honest with you, Lou, but I think she'll win the race. What are your thoughts?
It's a great addition, and I like to see that the top two from last year are back to duel it out again. I can see Dino's point. $6 v. $2.80. Amelia Jewel did get rolled first up, but, gee, it was a cracking... if you're looking at the form guide and you see Amelia's Jewel second at $1.20 or whatever it was, just go and watch the replay because that's better than what it says on paper.
Does Frosty jump on? Does he head over?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think I can get it up.
It won't be the same bloke that wrote it the other day. He's gone to Warrnambool to write the jumps.
Oh,
Gunner,
dear, dear.
question.
Yeah.
If I'm a punter, would you prefer to take a lesser price about Amelia Jewell knowing that she drew a gate? I think you mentioned it just then, just to clear that
100%.
up. Yep. Okay. So talking about there, you'd probably wait and see what gate she draws. If she draws wide, you cast,
You can
probably.
just, oh, yeah, definitely not cast, but you might get a better price as well. So
Yeah, exactly.
you get to risk less.
I got to be with Petula, boys, Sky Racing slot.
Love it.
He interviewed Simon Miller, to be fair, when we announced it on Sky One on the morning line. And he said, galloped alongside Amelia's Jewel, and you couldn't split him. So
Oh, yeah, please.
$26. Let's go. Let's
Because
go.
they're running alongside each
Hey,
other.
are you calling Simon a liar? I
Absolutely not. I'm sure he couldn't have, I'm sure he couldn't have split
don't
them in track work, but when they're asked for the ultimate test,
know.
let's just see who comes out on
The gloves
top.
are off.
I reckon it's a
Well, then, if
chance-off
they're
for
going
sure.
that
Might
good,
be
why isn't
raced.
Petula $2.80?
Well,
Because Louis's getting
that's
the
what we're
inside
here to do, boys.
information.
We've got to find holes in the market. I think the
I
market's
like
very
that.
wrong.
Love your work, son. I tried to go whack and I couldn't. You've done
Yeah.
well. Hey, you've done a good job with the Roosters so far this year, Louis. You managed to fall over the line several times. Managed to
Yep.
sneak in the top eight. How are the Broncos going, Dino?
Flying.
Can't scroll that far down the ladder. Where are you sitting?
I wouldn't even know, to be honest. We should be somewhere about.
No, you probably are. You probably are. Hey, fellas, it's been an absolute pleasure. Good fun in the autumn. We'll be back, no doubt, bigger, better, stronger for the spring. Leave your comments. Let us know this week who is going to win the all-age stakes. We want to know that. And just looking at this NRL ladder for you, Dino, the Broncos are in 10th and the Chooks are in 9th. And I had no
Beautiful.
idea until I brought it up. So good to see we finished the season of All In on top. And that's all that matters, isn't it, Lou?
Oh,
It surely is. Hey, just quickly, my best all-in play is Southport Tycoon, Dino.
mine is overpassing the quokka. Gunner.
Fantastic stuff. I'm going to go a node in the champagne at $11.
I like that. See if we can
Outstanding.
turn
Just
anything
want
midweight. We've got midweight bets.
to. What do you got for us, Lou?
Caulfield Heath, race two, number three, Tea Tree Lad. John Allen is booked to ride. No odds yet. It's first up. It was really good on debut last prep at Swan Hill. And that's the exact form line you want to follow leading into a race at the Caulfield Heath. No, I think it does have a bit of talent. And you might get a good price because, to be fair, it is coming off a debut at Swan Hill. So there might be a little price around it.
Love it, Dino.
Tomorrow, so Tuesday, Scone race four, number five, Palikari, a Waterhouse and Bot thing. Really good trials. Ran on that heavy 1300 at Gosford. Now back to a dry track, back to the provincials. It will be winning race four, number five at Scone on Tuesday again.
Who's writing that, Dino?
Amy McLucas should go to
Any
the front. And
prices up yet?
yes, 550. I'll be taking that. So
Ooh.
do not take my price. Haven't
Ooh.
backed it just yet.
Quick, everyone, get on. Luke, I'll be messaging you. Make sure you get on before you send this
Yeah.
out and crunch it into $3. Right, I'll chuck mine up on YouTube. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, gents.
Thanks,
Ciao, see you
boys.
next year. Season, whatever. Bye for now.